This is Akashvani. In the program Money Talk, now we bring you a discussion on India's achievements in the renewable energy sector. The participants are Narendra Taneja, energy expert, and Rajesh Lekh, anchor.
We have with us Narendra Taneja to discuss on India's significant achievements in the renewable energy sector and commitments to attain its clean energy targets. Can you provide us an overview of India's progress in the renewable energy sector over the past decade?
Well, if you look at India's renewable landscape today, we are like among the three largest producers of renewable energy in the world. And most of it, actually 99% of this, we have achieved during the last 7 to 10 years. If you look at, for instance, this the picture 10 years ago, we were like, on the renewable energy front, we were almost kind of non-existent when you look at the global map. But today, we are among the top three in the world. Let me give you a few examples. For instance, if you look at installed capacity of electricity, today, roughly, we have 455 gigawatt installed capacity, which is the third largest in the world. And all this, most of it, we have achieved just during the last 7, 8, 10 years. India's target now is to produce 500 gigawatt of renewable energy by 2030.
You mentioned about the 500 gigawatts. How has India's commitment to achieving this 500 gigawatt of non-fossil fuel capacity by 2030 influenced its energy policies?
Well, that's a good question. You see, when you say energy policy, then we are talking of a very large gaps in the sense we are talking of oil and gas and coal, fossil fuels, which still play a very, very important role in India's energy, mix. We are talking of then nuclear power, which is again a very significant player in India's energy ambitions, though the share of atomic power is small compared to, let's say, coal or compared to renewables. But that's very critical at the same time as part of our strategy, the overall national strategy. And B, then if we come to non-fossil fuels, a non-fossil fuel is a solar. We roughly, when you look at the breakup, solar is roughly 92 gigawatt. Is the share of solar in our renewable space. Wind, which has been around for quite some time, but now is kind of overall installed capacity is 48 gigawatt. Hydro, which again has been around, and we built big dams and everything, since independence. But when you look at the picture today, from large dams, large hydro projects, we are producing roughly 47 gigawatt, and small ones, roughly 6 gigawatt. What we have also done with the last 10 years, incentivizing biopower. What is biopower? It's basically biomass and biogas. And if you look at what we have managed to achieve in that space, it's roughly 12 gigawatts, which is very impressive. So overall, if you look at it, the energy picture, we have still many challenges. We are a developing country. We still have widespread energy poverty. But the kind of ambition we have for Viksit Bharat, the kind of ambition we have in terms of energy independence, the government is now incentivizing energy as a whole, from policy to implementation and engagement and involvement of various states, because we are a federal structure. States have their own vision, policy, their own goals, and so on and so forth. But overall energy policy, when you look at the central government energy policy, is now driven on three pillars. Number one is to kind of go for energy independence to the extent possible in fossil fuels, including coal, oil, and gas. So incentivizing oil exploration production, incentivizing coal, and plus all other sources of fossil fuel. But at the same time, as part of the long-term goal, the focus is more on renewables and nuclear power. So if you look at the crystal ball and talk about 2050, 2060, I think bulk of our energy is going to come from renewables, particularly solar. And because nuclear, we are investing a lot in fusion technologies. Okay. We are also part of an international coalition on research on fusion. So therefore, that's going to play a very, very important role. So policies, again, are the kind of dynamic thing. When it looks the central government policy, I think the focus is very clear. Push renewables, but at the same time, do maximum possible in order to produce as much oil we can domestically or invest in overseas asset, produce more gas, produce more eco-friendly coal, and so on and so forth. So energy policy is very, very dynamic. It's very realistic.
Okay.
And you look at the overall push to renewables, but at the same time, the government is giving sufficient priority to fossil fuels too. Okay.
Narendra, what role has the National Solar Mission played in advancing India's renewable energy targets, and How do initiatives like PM Kusum and rooftop solar schemes contribute to India's clean energy goals?
When you look at the, let's say, India's energy mix, the role of solar was 10 years ago, if you look at data, was negligible, less than 2%. Today, you look at, for instance, the role of solar, India's renewable is 46%, thanks to the solar mission and thanks to the incentives, whatever incentives they needed at the policy level, at the support level, at the subsidy level, and at the same time, you know, going for unconventional methods in order to incentivize solar. In terms of rooftop solar, government has recently come out with a very innovative policy to incentivize mini solar power plants, panels, basically on the roof, both in urban areas and rural areas, including the scheme that you mentioned. And it's going to take some time before we see bigger results. But I think we've started moving in that direction. And distributed solar. Distributed solar is basically a produce solar, inject that into the grid. That is what where we have achieved a lot. But distributed solar is a new focus area where the target is basically that all villages and small towns and even in the bigger towns, people produce their own power on the rooftop. And if they have any surplus, that goes into the system, into the grid. And so practically, they are power consumer at the same time as they are power producer. So that's the strategy, because in the process, they will also get benefit. They can also make some money. In fact, some people are already doing that. But the idea is more in the rural areas, distributed solar, that their communities, the panchayats and all that come together and their own solar power plants sitting on the rooftop or even in their fields. And if they have anything surplus, that goes into the grid and they make money. And at the same time, they could use it for micro industrial unit, etc. So I think, you know, solar in India is solar mission is one thing. But I can share with you what I see on the ground when I travel across and talk with the stakeholders, talk with consumers. Solar power has become a mass movement. People, there is growing awareness. People want to participate in it. Panchayats want to participate and they want to be part of this success story. And in the process, they want to have free power, pollution-free, and at the same time, if they can produce a surplus enough to monetize it. We have gone beyond solar vision. It has become a people's movement, if you look around the kind of interest that the ordinary people are showing.
So also, there is a data which says that as of October 2024, renewable energy lease-based electricity generation stood at 203.18 gigawatts. What's your take on this?
The fact that we were nowhere 10 years ago and today is roughly the region of 240 gigawatt. And we are adding like 30, 35 gigawatt every year. So very, very impressive. It's not only that people kind of are taking notice of it at home. Globally, people are taking notice of it. And everybody is talking about solar power revolution in India and what India has managed to achieve. Though I must mention at the same time that our dependence for equipment, for panels, for solar cells on China and other geographies is still very high. So that's an area which the government has now decided to address. And we have got now 2 gigafactories coming up, which are going to kind of manufacture as part of the Make in India program, solar panels and cells and other equipment at home. And then there is a plan to go for 2 more gigafactories. So in fact, in the coming 3, 4, 5 years, hopefully, will not only be kind of our dependence on imports go down to zero, but we may also emerge in time to come as a major exporter of solar power equipment, panel, cells to Africa, to Middle East, and to several other countries around the world.
Now, a very important question is that I'm going to ask you is about the PPP, public-private partnerships in the field of renewable energy transition. And apart from that, what financial incentives or mechanisms are in place to encourage more investment in renewables?
When it comes to solar power, in fact, PPP or the private sector alone played a very, very important role. If you look at, for instance, the footprint, the solar power footprint across the country or the map as a whole, the role of the private sector is very impressive. Role of PPP is very, very impressive. And as I said, when people are investing because they see good return. 4 years ago, companies going into solar, they were basically worried that investment or return would not be very attractive. And because power tariffs were high and then the cost of installation was very high. But in the last 4 years, economics has changed completely. And in fact, the new players in the solar power sector, they are finding it even more attractive than those who moved into it, let's say 6 years ago, because that time the investment cost was very high. So now the cost has come down and the returns are safer. And therefore, you find that, you know, people are investing more and more. In terms of the government support, government still gives a lot of subsidy, especially to mini and small. And wherever the state governments ask for it, some states are doing better than the other. And so by the government wants that all states should be part of this national mission, solar mission. So therefore, it depends from state to state. But I think going forward, you're going to see a bigger role for the private sector, for individuals, for cooperatives, for panchayat, especially when it comes to distributed solar, than actually the government. Because let's not forget one thing, unlike coal-fired power plant or nuclear power plant, where you need massive amount of capital. In solar, you can get into business of producing power, let's say small 1 megawatt, 2 megawatt, with a much smaller capital, and where you may not want to have borrowing heavy money or be part of any big conglomerate. You can do that with some handholding from the government, some support, some loans, some subsidy, and you're in business. You're producing power.
While you're on loans and subsidy, then what is the role of climate financing?
Well, the climate financing role is very important. The whole idea is basically when you look at India, it's still a developing country, and look at the climate issue. When you go up in the sky and look at the pollution, the mass accumulated one, historical data, then Earth's share is hardly 2.2%, 2.3%. So all that the world is talking about, the developed countries are talking about the climate change and emissions and all that, is basically thanks to them. They have done it. So developing countries, and India is at the forefront of it, we are asking them, look, you guys did that. Now, if you want us not to use fossil fuel and to go straight, you know, switch to only, or to go more in the direction of this thing, then you want to, you got to chip in, you got to kind of, you know, support, because you are responsible for it. So this is kind of, broadly speaking, that's climate financing. So we, developed countries are supposed to finance developing countries, and in the renewable energy sector in particular. So a lot of, some progress there, but as you know, that developed countries are, they've started now saying, okay, we might do something, but we'll do it only for poorer countries, not emerging large economies like India. So that's another debate. But the point here is that, you know, they have to do it, because it's not about whether we are doing better than other developing countries, but we still have large population, which is kind of below energy poverty line. Globally, there are 4 billion energy poor on the planet.
Okay.
Many of them in our part of the world, in Bangladesh, India, Pakistan, Myanmar, Nepal, and other countries, and many of them in Africa. And we collaborate with all these countries. They are part of the Global South. We are one of the more powerful voices of the Global South. So when we talk of these issues, climate finance, we are not talking only about us. We are talking about the entire Global South. And that's why we took initiative together with France, have floated International Solar Alliance, to work on the one hand on technology and programs and incentivizing it, but at the same time to look at such issues. I mean, it's a very complicated one, but we see some progress. But in the recent Baku summit on climate, was not so encouraging. But I think the trick is simple. You keep on trying.
So what are the biggest challenges India faces in scaling renewable energy projects further, according to you, Nadeet?
Broadly speaking, three. Number one is capital. We need more capital because we want to kind of, when you look at our ambitions, we need more capital, which is available to our investors, to our, when it comes to distributed solar, to our panchayats, at a very attractive, a very low interest. And for bigger projects, it's available at the long term and at the same time, attractive interest from global organizations and global lenders. Number two, if you look at technology for renewable, whether it's solar or wind or other sources of renewable energy, it's expensive. And most of this technology is patented by developed countries. And when you go for it, it's very expensive. So that's a major, major challenge. Number three is, of course, that we are dependent, still our very large dependence on imports, roughly in the region of 80% for solar power equipment in particular. And as we move into offshore solar, that's building solar power plants on sea along the east coast and west coast, our dependence for equipment and other things is going to go up even further, and also for capital, because that's more capital intensive.
So we hope we overcome these challenges swiftly with the collaborations and policies and with each other's help. Thank you so much, Narendra Taneja, for being with Akashvani.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on India's achievements in the renewable energy sector. The participants were Narendra Taneja, energy expert, and Rajesh Lake, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.